You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Turn your eyes to the skies. It's time for Spaced Out on 95BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
Hello, David.
Hi, Johnny.
How are you?
I'm good.
Now, this is great news. We were informed by a caller last night that Buzz Aldrin has seen a UFO and or aliens, and he passed the lie detector test.
Yes.
Astronauts,
I'd like to speak to that person.
Astronauts not trained to beat lie detector tests, kind of like FBI people probably would be.
Okay, well, firstly, let's get the lie detector test business out of the way.
G'day.
He and none of the other people in the so-called study actually sat a lie detector test at all.
Sweet. Well, let's... Okay, good. That solves that problem.
What happened is this company analysed voice recordings from these astronauts. I mean, two of the guys in the so-called study are dead. One of them's been dead for 14 years. So
right.
This was not a live lie detector test.
So it's just the tone of the voice. That they couldn't check the heartbeat and all that crud that comes along.
None of that stuff. It was purely... supposedly using computer algorithms to analyze the voice recordings from the time.
Mm-hmm.
Quite apart from any of that, because I mean, it just seems that their company is using this for publicity and so on, and it's completely found without foundation.
Oh, damn it!
Oh, that's really mucked us around, isn't it? Taking about 15 minutes of my on-air time, I think.
What can we learn about this UFO that they supposedly saw, though? Is there any truth to it at all?
I'm not sure you're listening, John.
Well, I went
John.
Back to what Buzz Aldrin described, and actually he had a time on Reddit just recently. He's launching a new YouTube channel called Apollo 45, hashtag Apollo 45, which honors the 45th anniversary of the first moon landing in 1969. Was quite clear that he didn't see a UFO.
Okay.
What he says is when they were on the way to the moon, you have two parts. You've got the command module and you've got the lander that's going to go down to the surface of the moon. They had to dock in space. When they were released by the spacecraft, they had to turn them around so they're nose to nose and join them up. And in doing that, there were four panels that were around it that were released. And so what he saw was sunlight reflecting off one of those panels.
And behind the panel was a little green alien kind of thing?
Afraid not. What okay. He says is we were looking at the sun reflected off one of these panels. Which panel, I don't know. So technically, the definition could be unidentified. In other words, he doesn't know which panel.
So
and was, certainly and wasn't like a UFO or anything like that.
I mean, it was flying at the time, technically. So,
well, coasting to the moon, yes. So
UFC?
He does not believe for a second that what he saw on the way to the moon.
Oh, well, okay. What a massive palaver this has been.
Yeah, so...
Moving on. I don't want to give this any more
we'll
time.
Move on, yep.
Now, Virgin Galactic have managed to fly into space once again since their last plane crashed.
It did, and one of the pilots died in that tragedy.
Oh.
That was in 2014. So yeah, this is the first live powered flight since then. They've had test flights. They've let the rocket from a high altitude coast down and test systems, but this is the first time they let it go and then fired the rocket up. So it went. It was released at 15,000 meters, 15 kilometers, and from there it went up to 25.5 kilometers and then glided back. So it didn't get up to space, which is 100 kilometers.
Mm,
okay.
But it tested the engine and the system of getting back safely. So the thing is, it was successful, and that's the first powered flight since that tragedy.
Okay,
that's cool. That's cool.
So they're back on track by the look of it.
Sweet. Now, you've also sent us another story about a space junk removal, and we know that there is lots of space junk left up in the atmosphere from...
Is there like an inorganics for space, or how does that work?
Junk to go, yeah. This is an experiment that is actually run by the University of Surrey,
Good old Surrey.
So it's an EU-funded project. The craft is about the size of a washing machine, weighs about 100 kilograms, and it's got three types of technology it'll test. So what they're going to do is release little CubeSats. These are little tiny satellites about the size of a shoebox, and then try and catch them. So the reason they're releasing their own pieces of space junk is because legal issues and going for someone else's space junk, basically. So the three types of technology, one is a harpoon, so you basically fire a spear off it and grab hold of it.
That's my favorite so far. Keep going.
Yeah, this prompt, they don't know what's going to happen. It could be that when the thing tensions, the whole thing could spin around, or it could...
You don't want to end up with making more space junk, do you?
Well, exactly. The second one's a net. So you fire this net, which envelops the...
That's pretty great, too, actually.
Yeah.
I'm looking at a picture of it.
I want to fire the net, and then I want to harpoon whatever's in the net. I think that's probably...
looks like a jellyfish.
I think the idea is just to get rid of it, not to have fun like a cat playing with a mouse.
Well, I mean, that's subjective, but, yeah, probably for them.
If you've got your own rocket, you could do that, I guess.
It's cruising around harpooning space junk. That sounds like a great pastime.
A bit more difficult than that.
How does it come back down through the atmosphere is what I want to know. If it's going up to get stuff, which is in orbit.
Do we really want it? Can we just shoot it off into space?
No. Well, this is low Earth orbit anyway, which is where it's a danger to, like, the space station and so on. So the idea is to get hold of it and then just deorbit it, and it'll burn up in the atmosphere.
Okay.
So it's just to bring it down into the Earth's atmosphere sooner than if you just left it alone.
I feel like you could sell whatever's left, like whatever space junk is left. I feel like you could cut that up and go, hey, here's something that's been in space. You know, people will buy the crap out of that on eBay.
you'd be able to recover all sorts of precious metals. Unfortunately, the cost of doing that would be greater than what you get for it.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, until there's a more efficient, cheaper way of getting up into space and back down again.
Just kind of like, oh, hey, cool doorstop. Where'd you get that? Oh, actually, it's funny you asked. That's a piece of space junk. It was harpooned last week.
Yeah, anyway, there's another spacecraft about to be launched. This is a bit more constructive, which is probably Monday next... Monday, I think, it's not next week, the 16th.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometime after that, but the earliest will be Monday. It's called TESS, T-E-S-S, which stands for Transiting Exoplanet Survey Satellite. Really, what that basically is, it's a follow-up to the Kepler telescope. That one has been up in space for a few years, and it discovered over 3,000 planets around other stars. So this one is slightly different. Instead of just looking at one tiny patch of sky, which is what Kepler did, this is going to look at 200,000 of the brightest, nearest stars to the sun and see what it can find. So they're expecting to find maybe 300 planets that'd be Earth-sized.
So this is orbiting Earth. Is that also in a low orbit, but observing stuff from around Earth?
No, it's observing stars.
Yes.
So these are many, many light years away.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's 200,000 stars, so it's a huge number, and it's covering an area of sky 400 times larger than what Kepler looked at. So they're expecting to find... it's not the number of planets they're after. It's what they're after is a planet like the Earth. So you're looking for a smaller planet, which is hard to do, and a planet that's small like the Earth, but also... in the Goldilocks zone of the star, so it's got liquid water.
The sweet spot.
So that hopefully be launched next week or sometime after that.
Does it essentially have the world's most powerful telescope on it?
Actually, not sure what the telescope on it is, actually.
Okay.
I'll have to get back to you on that one.
That's all right.
But no, it's not the most powerful.
Okay. And there's a swarm of black holes at the Milky Way's centre.
Yeah, the centre of galaxies, including our own Milky Way galaxy, are supermassive black holes. So in our galaxy, there's a supermassive black hole that weighs about over 4 million suns.
Oh, it's quite a fatty,
isn't it?
There's
a lot of stuff in it. But astronomers had thought that there should be other black holes there as well. It wouldn't just be the one big one, but other...
They travel in packs, do they?
Well, they're not traveling. It's the center of the galaxy, and it's just where everything is going to accumulate. So when stars merge, because it's a very congested area, it's very dense, these stars are going to merge and they're going to form black holes, or they're going to explode and form black holes. But of course, by definition, black holes are hard to find. They're dark. And so they haven't been finding them, but they changed the method of what they're looking for in X-rays. When you look for a black hole that's got a star as a companion, so you've got a star and a black hole orbiting each other, material from the star is pulled off by the black hole.
Makes sense.
And falls into a disk that goes around and around the black hole. It's called an accretion disk. And that produces high energy radiation and X-rays. So they went back through archival data of an X-ray observatory telescope called Chandra, and they found about a dozen of these within a distance from the black hole that the nearest star to the sun is. So, in fact, closer than that. So it's about a dozen of them. So extrapolating from what they found, they reckon there should be another 300 to 500 black holes like that near the central galaxy, and maybe 10,000 isolated black holes that don't have companions.
Can they join up?
Can we not throw the space junk into the black holes?
It's 26,000 light years away.
Okay, yuck, I see what's going on here. Okay.
Yeah,
and space is quite big. I think what you're trying to get at here is space is quite massive and vast, isn't it? I think I understand now.
Yeah.
Crazy, crazy. Now, what's happening with the current night sky?
Raining. aside from that, we've got a new moon coming up, so the sky's dark. So it's a good time to be looking for this week and next. New moon is next Monday, so we won't have a crescent moon until the end of that week. So the next couple of weeks should be good without any interference from the moon. Matariki's just about disappeared after sunset in the west. Mm-hmm. You can just maybe catch a glimpse of it. Then it's not going to reappear again until the beginning of June, when we have the Matariki Festival. Planet-wise, not a lot after sunset, I'm afraid. I mean, Venus is sort of there, but, very low down. So what you want to look for is Jupiter, Mars and Saturn, which Jupiter's coming up about 10 o'clock, I think, rising then. So by the morning, you'll have all three planets across the sky.
Rad.
Okay, awesome. Now, what's happening at the Stardome?
Stardome, well, we've got a couple of things. We've got Yuri's night on Thursday, which is really fantastic, except it's now booked out.
Oh, Yuri Gagarin, popular guy.
Yeah, although I know there's at least one ticket that hasn't been...
we've got a giveaway.
...taken up, yes.
Tell us a little bit about this.
You probably know more about it than I do, actually.
Than Yuri Gagarin?
I'll tell you. Shall I tell
you? I thought you meant about the giveaway.
I'll tell everybody. We do have a double pass to Yuri's night at the Stardome Observatory. It's on the April the 12th, Thursday, April 12th, which is...
This Thursday,
correct.
8 p.m.
Now, it's a hot ticket, we know now.
It is, I'm afraid, because the others are sold out. So this is includes a glass of wine, R18, and special Russian treats come along with the ticket. So it's finding out about that first flight of a man orbiting around the Earth into space.
Okay, you're kind of killing the how I was going to give the prize away, but it's all good.
is Vladimir Putin going to be there? Guest appearance?
Not this year.
Okay.
We'll work on that one.
All right.
Shirtless.
Yeah. Anyway, we have those every year.
Oh, it's R18 as well. Risky.
It'll be well worth getting that ticket to join the others who've already bought theirs.
Okay.
I'm curious about the special Russian treats.
If you happen to win the giveaway prize, I suppose you're not allowed to, are you?
No,
we can't.
I'm sure someone out there will be keen on this. Also, we've got the Aqua Adventures.
Aqua Adventures is the title of our school holiday program, which starts on Monday. So during the school holidays, the next 2 weeks, we're focusing on water in the solar system, the behavior of water, the importance of water, and a few interesting demonstrations, experiments. I mean, what happens with ice? Where it's cold, how does it behave, and the movie, of course. We're seeing the three main times at 10, 1 and 2. The show at 10 and 1 is The Perfect Little Planet, about aliens looking for a place to live. Have their holiday, I should say.
All right.
Mm-hmm. And 2 o'clock is a show called We Are Aliens, which is about, well, come along and see it. It's really, it's for the slightly older children than for the other one.
Mm-hmm.
So the tickets are $10 for the parents and the grandparents, and $12 for the children.
Or free if you text in to 5395 and tell us who Yuri Gagarin is. Let's keep it simple.
There you go.
All right. Hey, thank you very much, David. Always a pleasure to speak to you. We shall speak to you again in a fortnight. And everyone out there, head along to the Stardome Observatory.
Yep, and tonight there's a double feature of the rock music, if you're interested in that as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think the tickets are available for that one.
Nice.
Okay. So there's a double feature, the music and laser and light show called Rock the Dome, with Daft Punk, Radiohead, Modest Mouse,
Tool,
Red Hot Chili Peppers, and so on.
Some RHCP
and
the second, in space.
Parts of that bill is Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon.
That's good. That's a good one, that one.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you very much, David.
Talk to you in 2 weeks.
Cheers,
bye.
Mate.
Bye.
Control, we are docked. That was Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
That was a 95 BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.